Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic and it's time for WrestleMania Backlash. I'm joined by Ross and Andrew and we are about to deliver some lovely pitches to you. I'll explain the format straight away. Basically, we've all come to the table with three lovely pitches for this weekend's show. We'll go Ross, then Andrew, then myself around three times and we'll be left with nine lovely pitches for Backlash. But remember, it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen! Come on!
I realised that I've not asked how yous are. I just skipped
that. It's irrelevant because it's pitches time.
Yes, that's correct.
I've done that on purpose because I didn't realise how lacklustre this card is on paper until I looked at it on Wikipedia this morning.
There might be more added on Friday on SmackDown.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
There's bugger all to go on so far, isn't there?
There's a lot of rematches from WrestleMania.
WrestleMania Backlash. It's the backlash from WrestleMania.
They're selling us something we've already seen.
I know,
but smaller. I know.
Yes.
And they've taken away the most biggest selling point of the evening, which I found about on the news yesterday morning with Tom.
Oh, the unification.
We've got a SmackDown before then, though.
You think you're going to put him back?
I think they're going to put him back
like
on there.
A vasectomy?
Yeah.
Snip, snap.
I don't think they will.
Do you not?
I don't know.
I think they'll do all the belts on the line.
Just throw my pitches away, then. Just throw my bloody pitches away, shall I?
Point to be made as well. Look at this. There's one sheet of paper. It's double-sided, but there's one sheet of paper.
Well, thanks. Very good. I'm fuming,
like,
mate. I'm absolutely... You've ruined one of my... It was an accident.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I think it's a bit more nuanced than that.
Yeah, of course.
There's more to it. But we'll go straight away to Ross's first pitch.
I have no nuance. Roman Reigns attacks Drew McIntyre backstage because of what happened on SmackDown last week and goes home because he is the tribal chief. And what is that cook Adam Pearce going to do about it? The tag title unification match is put back on. The intrigue is put back into this pay-per-view. I don't care who wins this unification tag team title match, but we leave the pay-per-view with one floating set of tag team titles to go along with one floating ooh-woo-woo. Heavyweight championship. We can get to Drew McIntyre winning Money in the Bank and challenging Roman Reigns for the title in Wales later on. Two months' time. But as for now, put the intrigue back in the pay-per-view, I say. That's it. That's the end of the first pitch.
Oh, wow.
We're not messing about. You know, in like a game of chess, you've just gone for the standard, and I respect it.
I've never played chess in my life, but I'll take your word
just
for it.
Just the standard pawn to E.
It's like a catchphrase, the super catchphrase.
Okay.
One box has been revealed. I've got it straight away.
Oh, I love it when that happens. It's dead good.
I think this is a combination of a pitch and like a philosophical statement on the state of the pay-per-view card.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree with it. It's a yes from me, 100%.
It's a completely can-miss pay-per-view. Imagine, right? Honestly, it is. As we're sat here on Wednesday, as we're recording this, it's a completely can-miss pay-per-view. There's not a lot of titles on the line.
Nope.
There's Ronda and Charlotte, which is quite intriguing, but I know a lot of people aren't on board with that. There's this six-man tag match, which has got no stakes at all.
It's like a house show match.
Yeah, it's like a house show main event. There's no real story going into it. Drew was like, oh, Randy, you don't like the tribal chief I'm on board with. Ah, let's be partners, eh? That's it. That's the story. So we need to put some stuff back into this pay-per-view. Because I was just thinking, this is the first pay-per-view after Austin made a comeback and after Logan Paul, right?
Yeah.
There's lots of new people presumably watching wrestling now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hopefully. They're stuck around. That's the point of bringing those names in. And this is the first pay-per-view we're serving up. And I think it's bollocks.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting, is it? But it is a yes from me, Andrew.
Yes from me as well. Yeah, you hit nail on the head. Don't need to say anything more, I don't think.
That could have been the catchphrase in the top box that I got with one.
None.
Yeah.
One of them.
Aye.
One of them. Are we ready, boys?
Yeah, go on then, Andrew.
Here we go. Strap yourselves in.
Everybody knows. Put your seatbelts on. Right. So, I guess it's pretty basic. Not as just down to the point as yours, maybe. But so this is my first pitch. It's going to be to do with Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes. So throughout this entire feud, I think it's pretty safe to say that Cody's kind of, he's had the upper hand week to week so far. Seth's got a few cheap shots in here and there, but ultimately Cody's been on top just throughout the whole entire confrontation between the two this far. So in a backstage segment, Seth makes it very clear that since the beginning, Cody has always had an advantage. He was unaware of who he was up against at WrestleMania and therefore didn't have time to prep accordingly for his opponent. But this time, he's carefully taken the time over the last few weeks to study Rhodes and what makes him tick. He's prone to letting his emotions control him rather than being pragmatic, and that's played right into Seth's hands. Oh dear.
Okay.
Seth justifies his being on the back foot as a means to understand and learn the ins and outs of Rhodes and what's changed between 2016 and now. So match time comes and Cody makes his way to the ring as normal. He's visibly pumped to go one-on-one with Rollins again. Seth's music hit and out he comes to the ramp, but he's in a suit, mic in hand. He tells Cody that the more he thought about it, the more a simple rematch wouldn't suffice. This is WrestleMania Backlash, after all. It'd be a disservice to the fans to rehash one of the most momentous returns in wrestling history. It just wouldn't feel genuine.
Hang on, is this Seth or Cody?
This is Seth saying this.
This is Seth saying this, right? Okay.
So let's mix it up, he says. Tonight, let's create a new momentous moment in wrestling history. You're going to be the clueless one. However, I'm nothing if not a fair man. So, Cody, you don't have to thank me right now, but I took the liberty of making one of your dreams come true. A confused Rose looks up on the ramp towards Rollins before, out of nowhere, from behind. Oh, no, he's got him. A devastating...
What was that? Okay.
Just ad-libbing, Jack.
Is that one of them anime memes?
It could be. I mean, it could be. It's not.
It's not.
But,
yeah,
I just threw it in there.
Porn?
No. Could be again.
Could be again.
With who I'm about to reveal right now. A devastating backbreaker.
Well, can't wait to see it.
Bend over?
What? Can we...
Is it bend over?
No.
UK porn legend.
What? Was it his son that was in that out... No, whatever it was.
Yeah, his son was an actor.
Was that?
Yeah. He was the oldest son.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway.
I think
we've interrupted at a really key time.
It's okay. A devastating backbreaker leaves Rhodes reeling in pain. The camera pans up at a figure in a hoodie who slowly pulls down their hood to reveal the messiah of the backbreaker, Roderick Strong, everybody, standing over Cody in the ring. As Rollins calls...
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. As Rollins calls for the bell to be rung. And that's the first pitch because he's the only man left on the list. He's the only man left on Cody's list.
I was wondering that.
He wants to wrestle. We know that Roderick's been asking for his release and whatnot, but WWE are like, hey, you're still factoring into our plans somewhere.
Wow. Is he the only one left on
his
list?
Yeah, I think so. He's the only one left. And I think before, Rhodes has been saying like, oh, one time I met him at an indie show and was like, you're the only person left on the list that I want to wrestle. And Roderick Strong was like, yeah, nice one. See you in a bit. And then just like nothing ever really came of it. So this would be a nice way to have Roderick do something now that Malcolm's gone. Not that, you know, we saw on NXT, I feel like the rest of Diamond Mine are kind of like, oh, we don't want you anymore. Apparently you're getting a bit
Last night as well at the time of recording.
Just a nice way to bring Roddy up to the main roster.
Who
and give
wins?
Him something of meaning. I think that... That Roddy wins, but with interference from Seth, obviously.
Okay.
So then we can carry on Seth and Cody a little bit more.
Okay.
I don't want Cody to go straight onto the WWE title picture, and not soon, at least. Anyway, I want to build it up a little bit, but I think obviously as well with Cody being like, oh, if I get hit with one of them backbreakers, then it's career over, everybody. He said that about Roddy Strong's backbreakers. Yeah.
Well, he is the master
of the... I'm trying to like tie it in a little bit storyline-wise there. But yeah, just have Roddy come in, make a big impact, and then have Seth help him out to win the match. And yeah, everyone gets the dream match. And I don't just want Roddy versus Cody to be just on a random NXT or something or a Raw. I think it's pay-per-view worthy.
Do you think that a section of the WWE universe would be disappointed having been advertised Seth versus Cody, but being given Cody versus Roddy Strong? We all love Roderick Strong, but maybe certain.
Well, probably, but when has that stopped WWE in the past?
That's a very good counter argument. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's a no from me, Andrew.
Ooh. Okay.
First and foremost, because it's a match I don't want to see here in 2022. Oh, it's 2022 when I said 2021 there. Mm-hmm. It's 2022. It's a match I don't want to see this year. Mm. And second of all, you're denying Roderick Strong being happy with your pitch. Let him fly away, for goodness sake. Stop keeping him in jail.
In the realms of what has been going on, what they've been saying, that he still factors into their plans, I thought this might be a nice way for him to factor into their plans.
I completely forgot about the list until you said it, so it does make complete sense. But if this show is what we want to see, it's not something I want to see for multiple reasons. I'm sorry,
Andrew. No, don't apologise. Don't ever apologise, Ross.
I'm going to give it a yes to even things out into a middle
thumb. Well, you don't have to.
Well, at first I thought it was a bit too radical.
Radical, man.
A bit too rad. But then I thought, nah, you know what? Sometimes that's what WWE needs in its product. We enjoyed WrestleMania on the whole because it took a few risks and was a bit sillier than usual and a bit more random. So I think that would carry that energy into Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash. So I'm giving it a yes.
Thank you.
Right. My first pitch is also about the big tag match. Unfortunately, I wrote this one before last night, and what I've pitched didn't happen, but it feeds into NXT 2.0. You'll be delighted to hear, Ross.
You know, it's the best weekly output in Western professional wrestling.
I gathered that much when we had to watch it for the podcast twice in a row.
When we had to watch it for the podcast.
No,
it
I'm just saying.
It should be a joy to watch in your own spare time.
That's the thing that I came to realise whilst doing the podcast is NXT 2.0 is fantastic because... And you guys do the biggest job in filling all the gaps that they leave out.
Thank you. You were saying this yesterday.
And that actually makes it feel more entertaining.
I look at it less as us filling in gaps that need to be filled in and more us really being dialed in with the writers and understanding the subtext.
Of course.
You're flattering us too much.
No.
They should really rename it NXT Hybrid at this point because it is the perfect hybrid of black and gold and 90s cheesy bollocks.
It is.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yes, so at Spring Break In, which has already happened and this didn't happen, but for the purposes of this, please pretend it did. Solo Sikoa is about to win the North American title, but he's taken out by a masked figure who runs in. Claymore, it's Drew McIntyre. That's how he's getting his revenge on Roman. Solo loses, and then on SmackDown, the Bloodline open the show and are fuming, of course, but then they're interrupted by Drew on the Tron, who wants to make the tag match again for the gold. But not just the tag gold, all the gold. So I've done the same as winner take all. Roman is infuriated by the Solo Sikoa thing, so he agrees. At Backlash, the match plays out like this. So Jay gets caught with an immediate claymore and has to be bailed out by his teammates. And it's kind of becoming apparent that this has knocked him for six throughout the match. Maybe Blades, if that... I don't know, that's a bit too far. But he's really knocked silly by this early claymore and he's nearly getting pinned a lot and they keep having to save him. At several points, it looks like he's going to lose and lose them all of the belts. It all culminates when he's being set up for an RKO. Roman sprints into the ring and doesn't care. He just takes both of them out with a spear because he's like, just get out of the way. Spears both of them, drags Jay over to the corner, tags himself in, throws Jay out the ring, disgusted, and guillotines Randy Orton, who passes out. And basically, the Bloodline retain, and this pitch is to try and solve a few problems, which I've written down here. So we're not really sure who set up the feud with Roman beyond Drew, I don't think. So I guess they could stretch it out to SummerSlam, but they're going to need something else as well. And I think that Jay's quest to prove that he can be trusted could be a nice little subplot carrying us through. It's also, I chose Jay because he's like the more loyal one. And I think it'll be a bit more interesting if like Jimmy was like, what are you doing, Jay? Get it together. So I don't know. It could go any way you want. The Usos have to really concentrate their matches now because they don't quite trust each other to keep a hold of the tag belts. I think they should probably lose the Raw ones back, though, because they'll be unified by this point, maybe to the Street Profits in a banger of a match somewhere. But yeah, that's my pitch, basically.
With the troubles that are going on in the Bloodline at the moment, I think that is the perfect pitch.
Oh, wow. Oh,
What they have been losing praise. Bear matches. Mm. That's the phrase. Bear matches. And Roman hasn't been happy. They've both lost to Riddle in recent weeks in singles matches. It's not going well for Jimmy and Jay. So I think that rectifies a lot of stuff and also creates a lot of intrigue.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like that a lot as well. I remember when, as we all probably remember, when there was little bits between the Usos at the start, obviously, where it looked like things were kind of descending between them and Roman and they didn't know where loyalties lied and this
Nobody's bitch.
Nobody's bitch.
And then he said, not your bitch, which is a slightly different slogan to have on a t-shirt. But it would have still worked.
Yeah, and I thought they were some of the most intriguing bits of the Bloodline. I know it kept. I know it was like, oh, are they actually going to break away? And thankfully they didn't, but I kind of did like the sort of family dynamic, will they, won't they break up kind of thing. That sounds like an episode of NXT right there. Will they, won't they break up?
But usually, obviously, we hate tag partners who don't get along.
Yeah.
That was my risk here, but hopefully it's like, it makes sense. In
the story, of course. Yeah. So I really like that. And I like the involvement of Solo Sikoa. Well, Drew absolutely Claymore in his head off. Yeah. But I like that involvement as well, sort of.
But it didn't
acknowledging
happen.
That.
But
yeah.
It's fine.
It didn't happen, but it's okay. But it's a yes from me.
Thank you very much. Ross, what's your second pick?
I'm going to Cody versus Seth Rollins this time because we learned on Raw that Seth Rollins doesn't think Cody Rhodes is very good. He doesn't think Dusty Rhodes is very good.
No.
He doesn't think either of them are very good. But because he's a professional wrestling heel and Cody Rhodes is the hero that America has always dreamed of, Cody will fight for his life and batter Rollins for a long period of the match on Sunday. Cody has proven he is everything he thinks he is. And more. But Seth Rollins is a visionary. He's a revolutionary and, most crucially, an architect. As his father, Triple H, said back in 2014, there is always a plan B. Crossroads at a crucial point in the match. That's the actual move, not like a symbolic crossroads. Cody does a crossroads on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is down, but he does this with his fist. It's a sign of defiance for a lot of people, isn't it?
Oh, when he's laid out
he's
on the
camera. Just laid out, he's knocked up, he goes, whoa, that's the sign. Operation Give the Nightmare a Nightmare has officially commenced. From under the ring appears seven people in balaclavas.
Oh, man. Not the balaclavas.
The balaclavas are back,
it's
everybody.
Classic trope of pitches.
Seven. That is seven people in balaclavas. Not a magnificent seven. A maniacal seven. They get into the ring and they surround Cody. And you can hear one of these seven balaclavaed people mumbling sweet whisperings at Cody. So devastating in whatever he's saying, this person, that Cody starts crying. Because if there's one thing that Cody is good at, it's bloody crying, isn't it? I just spat everywhere there. Very sorry. Nobody down there who I just spat on. He's in the corner in floods of tears and he cannot control his narrative. That's how bad things have gone for Cody. This allows Rollins to blindside Cody and get the win because this is WrestleMania Backlash, where he gets, as you said earlier, the backlash for what happened at WrestleMania. Yeah. He celebrates in the middle of the ring with the maniacal seven balaclavaed figures. They then remove their hoods in one fell swoop and reveal themselves to be Joey Janela, Jack Evans, Stu Grayson, Sadie Gibbs, Marco Stunt, and the artist formerly known as Fuego 2. And the seventh and most crucial one is Mel. That's who's That's who's whispering the stuff at Cody because she was part of the Nightmare Collective. Yeah. And Cody's married to one of them. It's not Luther, though. No spoilers there. the crowd are confused because they don't watch AEW. Jimmy Smith on commentary is like, I know who they are. Corey Graves will act like Jerry Lawler did towards ECW back in the 90s. Look at them. It's those backyard mud show chit turds from awfully embarrassing wrestling, he'll say, because AEW.
Yeah.
I've conceded now in this script that it doesn't need to be seven, but in my mind, seven is a magical number just to hammer home the point.
Okay.
This goes nowhere. This entire angle. This was merely a ploy from Rollins to beat Cody and get his WrestleMania defeat back. WWE, in summary, should do more one-shot deals with people like this because we know they can lead to some interesting scenarios like this one here. And of course, the feuds will now end, Rollins versus Cody will end 1-1 because this is WWE and 50-50 booking is the order of the day. So basically, Rollins has got his phone book out and got some people from Cody's past to come and scare him and distract him. Mm-hmm. And that gets him the win because he's a professional wrestling heel.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
And they're all free agents.
Yes.
I love that very much. It's a yes for me. I want to see it happen.
You legitimately beaming there. I'm quite scared.
He's an architect. He's put all the pieces together like an architect would to create this foundation of something fantastical. In wrestling.
You know the scene in Ocean's 11 where Brad Pitt and George Clooney go around and gather all of the, it's like a montage. I want him to do that. I want him to be in like different cities and stuff. One's like Marcus Dunn's playing a gig somewhere and he goes backstage and I want that.
The only pitfall of this one is I hope they're all available on Sunday.
That's the only logistical issue.
They will.
It's a no from me, unfortunately. I was on board right up until you said, this doesn't go anywhere. I was like, well... Because I wanted to see what they'd do. I wanted to... It's a no because I enjoyed it too much and then you took it away.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Such is life sometimes.
Yes, that's true. Andrew.
Yeah?
Your second pitch,
please. Mike on... My God, hold up to that now.
Of course it can.
Going to the AJ Styles and Edge match. So I've noticed that a lot of my pitches start with backstage.
Ooh.
I think if people went back and watched the videos, they'd be like, backstage?
I've never noticed that.
Backstage. No. Now I've said it.
Yeah, it's going to be now every time.
Is my next one about being backstage? Perhaps it is as well.
I reckon it is, you know.
It is. Backstage, Edge is talking to Damian Priest about his match with AJ Styles. They're chatting about how stupid Finn Balor must be to get involved in their business. However... this now evens the odds. The scales of judgment may seem balanced for now.
You're class at writing like every promo in WWE.
Literally every single detail in it annoys me so much.
Richard.
I can't do what you do, and I wish I could.
Richard sits behind. Sits opposite Andrew. Does Andrew make noises when he's writing scripts for pitches? Because I can imagine. What was the line there? Sorry, I just imagine you writing that going.
I just make noises. Not just for writing.
I heard you once we were doing the podcast and you made like a fox noise or something.
What?
This was a few months ago now.
I can't even remember.
It's like
go on then.
I don't know what I did.
In fact, read this pitch in the style of Fred.
Like, Fred, I can't. No, I know the whole entire way.
Yo!
The scales of judgment.
I'm only messing.
The scales of judgment may seem balanced for now, but they'll tip once again in their favour soon enough. Speaking of which, they have other matters to attend to. Though Priest might be excluded from being at ringside tonight, that doesn't necessarily mean Balor will keep himself out of what doesn't concern him.
Ooh.
In an effort to make himself relevant again, because he's irrelevant, that's what they're saying. I'm not saying that, but that's what they're saying. Yeah. I put the words in their mouths. So let's make sure he never has a chance to be relevant ever again. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Murder.
Get him. Later in the night, we get the classic, Balor's been found backstage in a bad way, and AJ is looking in every direction to try and find the culprit. And whilst he doesn't see the culprit, he does find an ominous set of scales perfectly balanced on both sides.
Ooh.
Just like off in the distance, he looks and... scales, just over there, just like that.
Someone's a Libra.
Right?
It's me. I'm a Libra.
I can tell. Perfectly balanced. With seemingly no one to accompany either man to the ring for the match, Edge and AJ Styles have themselves a bloody barn burner. It's much more fast-paced, energetic and scrappy than their WrestleMania match, with AJ really laying it into Edge for all the shenanigans he and Priest have pulled over the last few weeks. AJ seems to have things on control. He hops on the apron, but oh no, it's time again. It's WrestleMania Backlash. It's like what happened at the show of WrestleMania. Dark shenanigans, the lights go out, and the Titantron shows a set of scales, and this time a weight is dropped on one side, this time making them unbalanced, everybody. And when the lights return, Edge is distracting the ref whilst Ciampa holds AJ Styles in position for a widow's bell draping DDT. Whoa. He hits it, leaving AJ stunned and set up for a spear from Edge. It leaves AJ stunned and set up for Edge to hit the spear for the win. Post-match, Edge and Ciampa come face-to-face, and Ciampa's like, is heated, his emotions are searing and everything. Pacing back and forth, he looks almost unpredictable in his actions, but Edge embraces him, holding up his arm and officially welcomes Ciampa into Judgment Day. Happy that the scales are tipped in their favour once again. The two watch as Styles tries to get to his knees in the middle of the ring. He's signalling in, you know, how they signal when they're underneath. Come on, hit me more. Come and get me more.
The Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24.
Come get me some more. Edge whispers in Ciampa's ear. And each man takes to an adjacent corner of the ring. Wait. This seems like the setup for a familiar NXT tag team maneuver. What's going on here? But before the two can collide, knees and super kicks with AJ Skull, Rebel Heart echoes throughout the arena as a returning Johnny Gargano storms the rim. Kendo stick in hand to chase off the evil perpetrators.
Okay.
So okay. Gargano's on the side of Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the side of Ciampa.
What Ciampa and Edge were doing, it looked like they were going to do the come in the middle, meet in the middle, super kick knee to the head. But no, we don't do that.
That's it. It's a yes from me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a yeah. I like it. I like Ciampa. He fits in well with the dark lads and stuff. And I just miss seeing him wrestle more. Mm. And even though it ended a bit badly in NXT, I wouldn't mind maybe one more chance to rectify the Gargano Ciampa feud.
Yeah.
One final beat, you might say.
That was so weird because that's like always been the thing, right? The final match, like even the one between, I think it was Adam Cole and Gargano as well, just wasn't like as amazing as some of the other ones.
I think they never knew when to call it quits. They were like, oh, that was an amazing match. Let's do one more. Yeah. And then they'd just go too far.
But yeah.
So yeah, it's a yes from me.
Thank you.
It's a yes with a tinge of no.
Oh, a tinge.
I liked it all the way up until Gargano got involved.
Oh, really?
I just don't want to see Gargano back in the World Wrestling Entertainment.
Oof, fair enough.
I think he'll do better work elsewhere.
Oh, I thought you were just like, hate him.
I know me and Matthew look similar.
Matthew hates him. Despite liking loads of wrestlers who are similar to Gargano, yeah. Matthew doesn't like Gargano.
Maybe it's because Gargano is like the pinnacle of every wrestler he likes in terms of sheer work rate.
He's too good.
He's too work ratey. But yeah, a Ciampa needs a defined role and he needs it soon because so far on the main roster, he's introduced himself to Ezekiel and being a face. Mm-hmm. Then he attacked Mustafa Ali and was a heel. Then he wrestled on main event as a face, apparently. I didn't say it, but apparently it happened.
Did
this week's Raw, he attacked Ali again. So to get him a defined role is something that needs happened, and that's what will happen.
Yes. Should clarify, Matthew doesn't like the Gargano NXT style of matches, just in case anyone's like, Matthew doesn't like Gargano, because he seems like a lovely bloke.
He does. He's a great pick wrestler. On Gargano a lot, though, Matthew.
Specifically does, doesn't he? Anyway, but Danhausen's good. I like Danhausen. I don't know why I've said that.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
My next pitch is also about AJ Styles and Edge.
Mm.
In the match, I had it, like you said, compared to the WrestleMania one, it was a bit more frantic.
Yeah.
This one's more like AJ's done his homework and he's scouted Edge and he knows what's going on. He's more in control. The ref takes a bump, though, towards the end. Uh-oh. AJ sets up on the apron for the forearm. It's the apron conveniently near the ramp.
Yeah.
And then Damian Priest's music hits. But AJ turns around. He's like, well, he's barred from ringside. What on earth is going on? Only for Edge to grab a chair. It's all a distraction and go to hit AJ from behind. But here comes Finn Balor charging into the ring and snatching the chair away. He saved AJ on Raw and now he saved AJ on Backlash. He goes to leave the ring. AJ jumps with the phenomenal forearm to Edge and Balor turns back around and bats him with the chair out of the air. Oh my God, it's a double little swerve. Like what Balor did on NXT when he did the Pele kick out of nowhere. I can't remember what the context was.
They were facing off with the Undisputed Era, right?
Oh, but then he turned heel.
I remember Balor was wearing some Nike Air Force Ones there, Richard.
Oh, was he?
And I purchased some, and I had the piss taken out of me because Why? They're a meme. If you buy some black leather ones, apparently.
Who did that? Someone in the office?
The YouTube comments.
Oh,
comments. There was a video where people saw my shoes. I purchased them because for the walk to work in the winter, you need some sturdier leather-based shoes.
And also, no one laughed at Balor for wearing them.
No.
No.
Maybe his were high-top versions. Mine were like the low-cut ones. I don't know what the official
term is. You just needed to kick people in the head with them. Then that would demand respect for you wearing those shoes.
So if you commented back then, I'll kick you in the face.
Sorted.
Edge and Balor like take control. I've put chair assisted coup de grace, and I couldn't think what that was in my head. I just saw words and I was like, what? But yes, he jumps off the top with the stomp onto the chair. Spear, ref wakes up, Balor gets out of there and hides. 1, 2, 3, Edge wins. Priest comes out and Judgment Day has its third member. Ooh. And then I've added a bit. I've said if you really want them to be like a new ministry sort of thing, you could also add, like, to make it a fully fleshed out stable, you could have a member of the women's division. Mm-hmm. Many people have mentioned the likes of Nikki Cross or Rhea Ripley and that sort of thing. Also a tag team potentially. I honestly went on Wikipedia and looked at list of WWE personnel and just looked for tag teams, and I couldn't find any that naturally really fit. So I chose the Creeds, especially if Roddy keeps arguing with them. They're not that goth, really, are they?
No.
But they could be like the Acolytes. They weren't goths, and they pretended to be for a bit of stuff on them. The downside is obviously AJ losing again, but I've justified that here by saying he came back from being literally buried. So
yeah,
it's a yes from me.
Thank you.
Finn Balor needs something. I don't know what it is. He's got everything in the world, that man. But one thing he doesn't have is a career on main roster.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Took a lot to come out. And especially a heel. He hasn't had a heel run on the main roster. And given what he did in NXT the second time around, especially, that's something they need to just try. It's better than the nothing they're doing so far.
Yeah.
No, I agree. For some reason, is it a weird kink? It's not a weird kink.
You're a dirty boy.
No. In my head, all I can think of is when Balor is introduced to Judgment Day, they have him as the demon, but then Edge has got him on a leash by the side of his chair.
Why is that all you could
just
think
like
of?
Just like, because I'll set demon on you. Yeah.
Balor does crawl about a bit, doesn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. Yeah. So he'd be perfect as the dog of Judgment Day. No, I think he'd really suit Judgment Day very well. I would like there to be sort of like a threat as well of, oh, we'll set the demon. We're not in a dog collar way,
never
by the way.
Any of this.
No, he didn't.
He just added this.
It was just in my mind for some reason.
There needs to be more leather, really.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I agree with Ross. I think
we just touched legs there at the worst time as well.
Did we?
Oh, did we not?
No.
Oh.
He was like, did Finn? I agree with what Ross was saying, that I think Finn needs something to do, and I think he'd rather sort of be better in the role of Judgment Day, because I think they're ultimately going to have more to do on the main roster than another sort of faction or whatnot. So I think that would be lovely.
Thank you.
He's an amazing heel as well.
He's a very good heel. Yes.
I wish I'd done this pitch in a different part of the video, because this pitch too is about Edge versus AJ Styles. Damian Priest, of course, is banned from ringside. He can't come down, can he? But semantics, as we all know, plays a huge part in professional wrestling. Oh boy, does this pitch have some semantics at play. The match is going on, and AJ Styles is being every ounce of the pit bull that people like to call him from time to time. You're a pit bull, AJ Styles. I want to see that pit bull, AJ Styles, they say to him, and I'm not too sure why still. He's not a dirty dog.
Pit energy.
Aye, big pit energy. He's not a dirty dog, though, but he is making Edge squeal. Earlier in the night. Steady on now.
What?
I know what you're like.
No.
Earlier in the night, this match, right, and settle down, everybody. Just let the pitch play out after I say this. Earlier in the night, this match has made a no disqualification 30-minute Iron Man match, because let's all be honest, all of Edge's matches these days might as well be a 60-minute Iron Man match, but 60 minutes would be taking the piss. 30 minutes it is. That long, boy, I've written down here, That long boy Edge likes to put on long boy matches. That's what I'm going to call them.
Does.
Just a really slow and really long, aren't they? Priest is still banned from ringside, though, crucially, under this new stipulation. It looks like AJ Styles is going to get his revenge and win at WrestleMania Backlash. Do you want to explain the concept of the show again?
It's where they have the rematches from the... It's the Backlash from WrestleMania, basically.
That's what happens here in this picture. Look, well, it looks like it's going to happen. But after hitting a Styles Clash on that long boy known as Adam Copeland, a bloody spooky video plays on the Titantron. People who are conditioned to be like Pavlov's dogs in instances just like this obviously think it's something to do with Damian Priest because he's banned from ringside, but you can't contain the Damian, can you? Ooh. Oh, because he's evil. Styles, who now has his guard up like a guard dog in a garden outside of an empty house, is on the apron. Oh, what's this, he says. Oh, just like a dog is in an empty garden. Guard in the house. He makes his way down onto the entrance ramp because he is too expecting Damian Priest. He wants to be ready to attack him before he gets too close to the ring. This is no disqualification, remember. We then hear little girls, their voices. They wear white dresses, they do, these little girls. And they like to hang out in attics. And they all have spooky voices. Now brace yourself, Andrew. You might get a bit scared now. What we hear over the Titan, we see the thing on the Titan Tron, what we hear over the speakers in the arena is, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to Edge my soul to keep. I climb onto this mound of omnipotence. Watch out, AJ. My driving is meticulous." He is greeted by a masked figure on a motorcycle who appear, I've gone to the Ballyclava again, at the top of the ramp on this motorcycle. Rim, 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 rim. This person on the bicycle then uses some gnarly NOS. Remember from Need for Speed?
Yeah.
How long is the ramp?
That's what I mean. It's a short ramp. So you need some NOS to get going. Straight away to get the speed up as quickly as possible because the ramp is short, as we just said there. The motorcyclist mows down AJ Styles and gets off their motorcycle to roll Styles back into the ring. Now, this couldn't be done with many professional wrestlers, but I assume AJ Styles could see a NOS-fueled motorcycle flying at him and jump just in time to make it look like he's actually been hit, but survive to tell the tale. He's the phenomenal AJ Styles, for goodness sake.
Imagine backstage, like, AJ, have you got this?
Yeah.
There's 30 seconds remaining on the clock when AJ Styles is rolled back into the ring. This is a 30-minute no disqualification Iron Man match, remember. Edge, knocked out, not knowing where he is. He rolls on top of Styles and he wins. WrestleMania Backlash isn't actually WrestleMania Backlash anymore because there wasn't any backlash to be had. And this masked figure stands there as the three count is made, raising their arm. Not like Rollins earlier on, a different sort of that thing, but very reminiscent of somebody from WWE's past because, of course, semantics are at play here. The clock goes down. Edge has won by one fall, however many each both have by the end of the match. The figure does not unmask, but they just ride away. And then NOS-fueled motorcycle. Meow. Next night on Raw, Styles in the ring moaning about Edge can't get it done by himself.
Styles is all right.
Yeah, Styles is fine. It wasn't a full mow down. He just got clipped and spat around in the air a few times. You know how it goes. Like when Kevin Owens got hit by Roman Reigns
in the
golf cart.
That sort of
vibe we're going for here. He'll be fine in 24 hours. We hear the spooky voices again as the arena is now bathed in purple and black like Edge's lights are. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to Edge my soul to keep. I used to knock about with Liv, but then I realised she's a div." The person's behind him, riptide to Styles. The mask is removed and it's Rhea Ripley, who is now a part of Judgment Day. But everyone knew this already because this is semantics and Undertaker Judgment Day 2000. They're called Judgment Day. That's what he came back and... semantics.
I was already preparing to give it a yes because of the Judgment Day tie-in and the name of the stable. And now that's just tipped it over the edge. It's a yes from me.
Yes, thank you.
It's beautiful. Your storytelling is second to none. I don't understand.
Don't say that when you're sat here.
No. I'm telling the truth.
Metaphorical rule doll sat here.
Beautiful.
I really liked on his guard, like a guard dog sat in a garden outside an empty house.
That was like fantastic. On another level of good. Are you going to write a book one day?
I can do.
You should do.
I should write about you.
Why?
I love that.
The travels of Andy.
Is a yes from me.
Thank you very much.
I want to see.
Should we just all do a travel show?
I think we should.
Go on our holidays. Oh, instead of this crap. Pictures. It's not even real.
My goodness gracious me. Again, another follow up there. How are we going to do it?
Oh, yeah, sorry, it's your turn.
My final one is just a very basic. I was struggling to think of anything.
Go on.
I'm not going to lie. I was struggling, everybody. But following on from Monday Night Raw, we have a. Is it a backstage segment, everybody? It could be. Following on from Monday Night Raw, we have a brief segment in which the camera is panned down towards the floor in a locker room, showing a pair of legs standing in front of a mirror. In the Well, you'll find out. In the mirror, and from this specific angle, we can see the attire of this person, somewhat tattered grey jeans adorned with lots of zips and like that corset-style lacing up the side, very fancy.
I'm not sure if I know.
I've worked it out.
I've got a guess. I've got a little guess in my head.
The camera pans up to reveal Nikki A.S.A. donning what looks to be a similar attire to her sanity clothes that she wore. And standing behind her is Doudrop, who simply says, "I'm glad to see you took my advice, Nikki Cross." We've reverted back. Yes, not only is Cross reverted back to her old attire, but she's done so with a name too. It doesn't end there, however, because as Cross tells Doudrop, as Cross then tells Doudrop that she should take her own advice on board. Where's the person she grew up wrestling against? The person who made history in other promotions around the world? Because you know, Doudrop was the first ICW Women's World Champion, and she competed in the first ICW Women's Death Match too, and competed in the first NXT UK Falls Count Anywhere Women's Title match as well. So that's where that came from. She goes on to say, "You let Has-Been walk all over you." That's Eva Marie. "You let Has-Been walk all over you. Fundamentally changed the person."
That means she used to be
were.
Good.
Okay, no, that's fair
no,
enough.
No, sorry.
That's fair enough. "You let Has-Been walk all over you, fundamentally change the person you were. That's not the Viper I know."
No.
"Where's the brutality, the passion, the fire?" At this point, the camera is quite tight on their faces as things get somewhat heated between the two. And then as it pans out, we see Alba Fire, a.k.a. the formerly known Kaylee Ray, stood listening to the conversation, taking it all in. She smirks, she swings that fire bat over her shoulder, slowly walks out of shot. And she's gone. And I'd want them all to be together in a nice stable, please, because they've done lots of really good things together in ICW and everything, too.
Can they be called? No.
Oh, go on.
Never mind.
No, you can say it.
The Glasgals.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes, they can be
called
the
Glasgals. I don't even know if they're all from Glasgow.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I think it seems like every Scottish wrestler is.
Yeah.
Apart from Joe Hendry.
Hmm.
Anyway.
What about Fraser? Where's he? Edinburgh?
Is he a wrestler?
Fraser's not yet a wrestler.
He's getting there, though.
He hasn't paid his dues yet.
Okay, okay. But yeah, I just want them... I think them three together would be very good. They've done very good things in different... And obviously in ICW and NXT UK. That's a real promotion. Don't forget about it. I'd like to see them all together because I think the chemistry they all have is on point.
And they're just all mad, aren't they?
Yeah, they're so just mad. Crazy times, right?
Sorry, the ring. Like the Sugar Babes.
Yeah.
They're just mad, like the Sugar Babes.
They've all got their own characteristics. Like Mutia Buena was the crazy one in Sugar Babes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you had the other two.
I
think the Sugar Babes was one of the... By the end, their lineup had none of the original members of the Sugar Babes.
Oh, really?
The blonde lassie still was the
But
original.
She... No, I think she was... Like the first new one to join, but but that was really early on in their career. Mm. Why? Sorry, Andrew. Yeah, it's a yes.
Sugar
for me.
Babes. We get the Sugar Babes together.
A good collective because they all complement each other with they different do. Personality
yeah.
traits.
Yes.
Yes, that's a bit of me as well. Oh, that's a bit of me. That's a bit of me.
That's 10 out of 10. That's a solid
10. It all makes sense, then. And calling Eva Marie a has-been is right.
Do you think?
Remember, she was the first person to beat Asuka. She eliminated Asuka from Battle Royal and NXT before Asuka defeated her. She was something. And it all makes sense, and it's a yes.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, big yeses. Big yeses.
Thank you.
My last pitch, I should have done this earlier. We're going back to Cody versus Seth. Cody beats Seth again at WrestleMania Backlash. So this one isn't, you know how sometimes like, you can't think of a pitch that's just contained with the... So I've gone for the match and then I've extended it beyond. I've done a bit of a storyline, right? Cody beats Seth again, proving that he's gone from being undesirable to... Why have I put that in there?
That's a me move, that.
Proving that it's quite apropos that he's gone from being undesirable to undeniable. He celebrates after the match and asks for a mic, but he doesn't get two words into his promo before he's attacked from behind by Austin Theory, or just Theory, I guess. And then he takes a selfie with his prone body and all that. The next night on Raw, Theory explains his actions,
Cody coming back to steal the spotlight, but this is his spotlight, and Cody represents nothing but the past. Cody says he's a wrestler. Well, Austin Theory is a goddamn WWE superstar, right? I've written, I think from here on, you can have a multi-match feud. So here we go. At Hell in a Cell, they don't have a Hell in a Cell match. They have a bull rope match, which Cody requests because he's so different and like not WWE. Mm. So he's like, no, I want a bull rope match, actually. And I think Cody should win the US title in that match, and that's his first title. But then on a Raw, a few weeks later, they have, I've mentioned a 30-minute Iron Man match, a rematch, and I've put... They have a 30-minute Iron Man rematch. It's blatantly match of the year. Theory wins his belt back in that one, possibly by shenanigans. And then at Money in the Bank, they are both in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Cody wins, but he's banged up. And Theory, who didn't get as banged up in the match, takes advantage the next night on Raw, challenges him for the briefcase with Vince's help. But, I need to turn the page. Cody still wins by the skin of his teeth and holds onto the briefcase. Theory is enraged and goes on to hold that US title for a full year. Wait a minute, how has he got the US title back? I think I've made a mistake.
No, he won it in the Iron Man.
I'm doubting my past self, sorry. Theory is enraged but goes on to hold the US title for a full year, defending it in increasingly sadistic fashion. So I've not gone too outside of the box there, really. It's not as like... I'm worried that I should have put a more explosive one last in this video, to be honest.
Go on then.
Yeah.
Go on then.
I'll go.
It really fizzled out.
I actually think it's quite a good idea to have Theory and Cody go at it, because obviously with Theory being McMahon's protege, I think that's quite a good storyline, and I think you could get some really good stuff out of it. And I think you're right. I would like to see Cody with the US Championship. I'd like to see him with a championship for a little bit
before...
The
problem is, that's my drawback, yeah. He loses it a few weeks later again.
But it'll be the run of a lifetime. Nobody's seen a run like that ever before in WWE. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's a yes from me. I thought you were going to say... Cody gets the briefcase and whatnot, and then he tries to have like the best cash-in moment of all time, and then Seth Rollins is like, "Hell no, not having that."
What could possibly top Seth?
Cody doing something.
Doing what?
Something.
Okay.
We haven't thought that far.
Don't worry about it.
We didn't think that far. Okay. But it's a yes from me.
Cheers.
Yes from me as well. Oof. I'll give it a yes. You get Cody getting a win, and that elevates the title, in my opinion, because this is Cody Rhodes.
Oh, he could redesign the belt in the shape of his tattoo. No, that was a real thought. That was a real idea.
He would do that, I think.
Fair enough.
I think it's a cool thing to do.
Spins and got fireworks on
Wait.
It. Belt with fireworks on it, and then there, Austin Theory getting that belt back makes him again, because he's beat Cody, and then he goes on a long run, and the US title means something again. So I think it's an excellent pitch.
I'm really writing that pitch. I kept like having to delete bits and put bits back in, which is why I got confused, because WWE are in a bit of a sticky situation, because there's only one big world title now. Roman's got both of them, but Cody needs to win the belt as well, but they don't want to beat Roman. Like, what are they going to do?
Have Drew beat Roman in Wales.
Clash at the Castle?
You know what they've done there? They've watched I'm a Celebrity, haven't they?
Why?
I'm a Celebrity the past 2 years because the pandemic has been held in a castle in Wales.
Oh, is it?
So someone who makes that decision has looked at popular things in the UK.
Is Wales famous for castles?
I don't know.
Has Cardiff got a castle?
I've been to a castle in Wales before.
Okay.
So yeah,
that like, Andrew?
It was pretty good. It was good. So we went. We had a curry afterwards. It was good.
Oh, nice!
A curry in a castle.
A curry in a castle.
Bloody hell!
You couldn't ask for more in life.
No, you couldn't.
If AEW do a UK pay per view as well to challenge this, then they need to do it in Newcastle.
The Clash at the Cottage.
Clash at the Craven Cottage.
Craven Cottage. Yeah.
I was about to say Newcastle makes the most sense because it's. We're a burgeoning young city. Not a young city, but you know what I mean. There's a cool scene emerging in Newcastle.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is there? I wouldn't know.
A few years ago, right? Oh, not in terms of wrestling.
Oh. Well, I wouldn't know either way.
I remember once, my dad dropped me off at like the Ouseburn, and he was like, none of this was here when I was young. It's all cool now.
Mm.
So, Tony, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. Thanks very much, lads, for a wonderful... Wonderful pictures video. I've lost focus slightly towards the end. And if you enjoyed it as well, why not have a bit extra fun and leave your pictures in the comments section down below? What have we got on this weekend for Backlash?
WrestleMania backlash.
God.
So much stuff.
All the stuff.
I'll do what happened that.
I'll do WTF on Monday.
I suppose. I'll do predictions on your own now. Cool. I don't know who's going to be there. I have no idea who's going to be
there.
Fair enough. But we'll be doing predictions and they'll be going up over the weekend. Adam Pacitti will be live streaming, I'm sure, at the weekend as well.
I think he is. I think that's on the YouTube channel.
It's the first pay-per-view back since I lost the best reign ever in wrestling.
It was ever.
There's a hole in my life this weekend.
Even better than Cody's 3-week reign as US champion.
It's going to be good.
Future.
It's going to be big.
It was. It is.
Anyway.
Thanks very much for watching, everyone, and hope you enjoy WrestleMania Backlash as much as we will. Thanks very much, and we'll see you very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.